we're turning our attention now, though, to the call by Fintan O'Toole in his column in the Irish Independent, or the Irish Times, I should say, yesterday, for the GAA to step in and to remove the name of John Mitchell from a number of its clubs. One of those clubs, of course, here in Tralee. The reason why, as we outlined on the programme yesterday, is because of John Mitchell and his views, particularly his views on the issue of slavery and the freedoms of different classifications of people, whether you were black, Jewish, or indeed white Irish, as the case may be. Lots of you getting in touch with your views on it in the context of the overall debate of how do we remember our history and do we apply the rules and social morals of today to people who lived hundreds of years ago. One of those who is somebody who feels that John Mitchell should be left in terms of his historical legacy and left in place is Brian Warfield of the Wolfstones, of course. Brian, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you? I got to say, first of all, that, you know, John Mitchell was a very complex character. And he's remembered in Ireland for his work during the famine and his work to help the people and save the people from the forced starvation. I think that's his legacy more than anything else. But remember that the Irish were sent away as slaves as well to the Caribbean. Cromwell sent, I think it was 300,000 people to the new states and the colonies in America, and they were sent all over the place, not as slaves, just as anybody else. And then, you know, the Irish people were sent then as indentured slaves, I might call them, because they had, if a girl was sent over and she had a baby, she wasn't allowed to take the baby with her, because the baby became a slave because of her status. So normally they had to stay. So there's a lot of, you know, we're going back hundreds of years, and there was a lot of different rules and regulations, especially, you know, the British started slavery. And I think John Mitchell, his argument against slavery was the slavery in the north, in Massachusetts, New York, the sweatshops, where the people were worse than slaves or worse hells. They were they weren't clothed properly, they couldn't be fed properly. Young children were sent to the sweat box to work 12, 13 hours a day. And he saw that as slavery, as a different form of slavery. It still goes on today. Everybody is a slave to something. And, you know, across the sweatshops and across the world now, they're still slaves to make a living. The difference is that I think the Irish, when they were sent as slaves, they were owned by the people who bought them. And but in fact, that the slave was worth something, he could be sold on. Well, you've got to remember the Irish that John Mitchell watched during the famine had no status whatsoever. They weren't housed, they didn't get food, they were left to starve in their own cabins, mud cabins. And he saw that as worse than slavery.
Yeah, but so, does that excuse his views and his views when he eventually ended up in the United States living near Richmond, Virginia, and became a forthright backer of the system of slavery against African Americans?
Well, I think it wasn't just against African Americans now. It was also against those Irish slaves that were there at the time.
Brian, not the same thing and not to the same extent. And there is an argument, a historical argument. I don't want to get into the weeds of it now in terms of indentured servants, but if you're talking about the Confederacy and what it was set up, are you suggesting that there were Irish slaves in the Confederacy alongside African-American slaves at that time?
Yeah.
In the 1860s? Yes,
and I have photographs of it. But not alone that...
Because that would be highly disputed.
The question I asked you, Brian, was
his views on the slavery system, the southern economy, which was largely reliant on slaves in the cotton fields, and that's what one of the reasons, and there was many reasons for the U.S. Civil War, but one of the main reasons for the U.S. Civil War, he was totally in favour of that system, and that's why the argument is there that it shouldn't be remembered.
You've got to remember... And you probably don't remember, but most of the Irish people who were in the southern states fought for the southern states. They were loyal to whatever part of the states they were in. the Irish regiments in the Confederacy were enormous, and they had enormous losses.
And there was also Irish units in the Union Army as well.
Yeah, they were both sides, and they fought one another at Gettysburg.
That's right.
And they fought one another, and it was said by the Confederate soldiers when the Irish regiment of Mar was coming up, oh my God, do we have to shoot our friends? You know, that's what it was. But they were loyal to where they lived in. And the Irish people are very loyal to where they go to. Remember, the Irish people have been going and emigrating to New Orleans and other southern states for many, many years before the Civil War. And they were embedded into the society there. They had friends, family, schools, and everything else. Have a look at the many, many Irish people that died on the Confederacy side. Mm. So it wasn't because...
Are you saying that justifies John Mitchell's views and his writings at the time?
I think John Mitchell...
He was just local to the area he was in.
I'm not a supporter of slavery, by the way.
No, I'm not saying you are, but we're talking about John Mitchell. We're talking about his legacy. Do you feel that it John Mitchell was just... The reason why he was of that view was that he just was local and loyal to the area that he was in at the time.
Yes, and his friends around him. And he was a great friend of Jefferson Davis. And, of course, he backed the side he was in. John Maher came down, Francis Maher came down to meet him down in Richmond, Virginia, and begged him not to take the side with the southern side. And he said to them that I'm loyal to the people I live with. And, you know, it might seem different today, but that's the way it was back then.
Yeah.
And I don't think John Mitchell would have ever been a slave owner. And, you know, his views on other things, like, are very, very staunch and very good and very loyal. Have a look at the way he was in Ireland. He gave up his life. He gave up his children's life. Yeah.
There's a balance, Brian, to be drawn on that to his character and his history. Can I just ask you one question? You're saying he was loyal to the area he was in. Just on that matter, Brian, if you just let me interject for a second, just on that matter.
Can I finish what I was saying and then you can interject?
Sure, okay.
He was loyal to his wife, Jane Verner, who was a Protestant also. He was Presbyterian. And they got married in a little church in Grand Cree, which they have the Orange Masses going from there now. He was loyal to Ireland as a good Irishman, not as any religion. He had no animosity whatsoever. He didn't like the way England handled Ireland. He didn't like the Irish people were impoverished and enslaved, as he put it in many of his books. Worse than slaves, worse hells. So they saw when he came around from Bermuda on his way to South Africa, they had to pull in South America, and he saw the black slaves there, happy, laughing, singing, well-fed, selling fruit to the ships and everything else like that. And he said they were the happiest people he saw. When he saw what he saw in Ireland during the famine, people dying in their cabins with no food, children left deserted, people eating their children, dogs eating people, rats, cats, mice, everything around the people, eating them up. He saw all that during the famine. And how could you say he was not, he was against slavery? He thought that slavery was better off than the Irish were.
Okay, that was his view of time. You talk about his issue with regards to being local to the area, but is it not the case that he had these views long before he went to the United States? Like in the 1840s, 1845, 46, there was talk and there was, you know, discussion to his association and his writings at the time that he'd fallen under the influence of British essayist, historian and philosopher Thomas Carlyle, who was a man who was notorious for his feelings towards enlightenment and progress, and that John Mitchell, as outlined in the piece by Fintan O'Toole yesterday, had a very different view of who should be free. The Irish should be free because they were white and civilised, inverted commas, whereas the blacks or others shouldn't be. And that was before he ever went to America.
Now, I never, ever, ever heard John Mitchell say the Irish should be free because we're white. Never. Where did you get that idea?
Well, it was written in the article yesterday by Fintan O'Toole from his own writings.
Do you believe everything that you read there in the papers?
Well, I try and balance everything that I read in papers and in writings and in history, Brian. You're suggesting he was local to the area, but I would contend that from his own writings, from his editorship of different that he had very strong views on the place of who should be free. He broke, in fact, from Daniel O'Connell. Daniel O'Connell's view was that everyone should be free regardless of race, colour or creed. John Mitchell wasn't of the same view. He put classifications on it long before he went to America.
Yeah, well, John Mitchell, you know,
which would counter the assertion you're making that he was just happened to be pro-slavery because he was loyal to the area he was in America. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Thousands of other Irish people were. None of the Irish people would have held slaves. They would have been half slaves themselves in the southern states of America.
Well, there was Irish there were Irish slave owners in the southern states in America.
Okay. Well, then I don't like this argument because I tell you why. You're a race in whiskey. A race in history.
Right. That's a point. I wanted to ask you about that. Just on that point, and his work in Irish nationalism and his arguments in favour of Irish freedom. What's your view on the overall, let's say, forget the character, forget the writings, just the warts and all view of history? Do we erase the names off GA clubs, or do we say, look, this was our history and you can't apply the morals and standards of 2023 to the morals and standards of 1863? Or is it a dangerous line to go down, Brian?
No.
On the historical argument.
I think this is a landmark of history. But if you erase it like they did in many, many other cultures, try to erase the people before them and obliterate all the culture and everything else of that race so they could take over and bring their own values to their newfound territories. It happened in many, many lands. They think about Egypt when they erased the pharaohs before them and obliterated their faces and everything else. And that's the way it was done in culture. But I don't agree with that. Because it's like Berkeley. They shouldn't erase Berkeley from a library in Trinity College. You know, a great writer in the Irish roots. And, you know, there are many good points to Berkeley. And, back then slavery was a way of life in many, many countries, not just in America. But in many countries, other people were enslaved. I don't agree with it. I don't like the idea of slavery. And you don't erase everything. Imagine what's going around every street in Dublin and erasing every name that had any British connection. Lord Haysbury, during the famine, he had a street named after him there in Haysbury Street, Westmoreland Street. All these guys that came over and were horrible to the Irish people have names called after them all around. Oh, let's go all around Ireland. No, get rid of that name. I don't want that name. You know, but I think a plaque should be put up beside that name to mention who he was and what he did. So we could learn as we walk around the streets or go into a club like John Mitchell's club, tell the story of him.
Yeah.
Okay, you can also tell the story that he was...
Should there be, for all those characters, for Berkeley or whatever, like, should Trinity have left Berkeley's name on the library and put a plaque in place or put an asterisk beside it and said, look, by the way, while he did this, this and this, he also did this. And likewise with John Mitchell. Should there be a plaque on the statue up in Newry and should it say, when he was in America, just so you're aware of the roundness of his character and what he said and what he did, he was on this side in Confederacy, and put that in place as a way of saying, this is our history, and not all of it was good, some of it was bad, but we're going to leave it as our history.
Yeah, well, it depends on who writes and the way they write it. If it's a fair-minded thing, I have no problem with it, but if it's a one-sided argument, I don't agree with it. I remember John Mitchell as a great writer, as a man who had tried everything to save Ireland from the starvation that it suffered. Now, O'Connell was totally different. O'Connell, had people marching in millions all over Ireland and in the great meetings that he had. And he promised that he would, in many of the places that he had in meetings, he promised we wouldn't stand idly by in a way that we are going to take back. We were stronger and bigger than the English, and we would take it back. All the things and everything that everybody said, the words that came out of their mouths, we kind of analyze them and bring them back and take our own opinions on them. You know, if he had have gone on with the meeting at Clontarf, we probably wouldn't have ended up having millions of people dead in the famine. While Mitchell was saying, take up arms, don't let the food leave your country, block the roads, get rid of the bridges, don't let them take it away.
Yeah.
And that was the difference between O'Connell and
him, violence and non-violence. Okay, Brian, listen, we're over time, but thanks for very much for giving us your review on John Mitchell this morning and the overall historical argument.
I'm a big Mitchell fan. I love his writings. I think it's right.
Indeed. And leave him as he is on the GAA Club and others. Brian, we're over time. Thanks a million for talking to us in the programme.